Since it's Christmas season, I thought we'd do Haggai.
I'm too close to heaven. I can almost see my journey's end. Oh, I'm too close. Shaking hands with all my friends. You know I'm a close. Oh,
hi there, welcome to our Soul Food Broadcast, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Princeton, West Virginia.
Lisa got it. I'm going to try to cover this book. Haggai, if you can't find it, that's probably because it's so small. It's about two-thirds through your Bible, maybe a few books before Matthew. After Zephaniah. If you can find that one, good luck. Before Zechariah. All right, so we're going to try to cover this book today. And Haggai, let me give you a quick background. Basically, what's going on here is there's everybody has been in exile in Babylon for forever, it feels like, to them, I'm sure. And they had, a bunch of the Jews had come back and started filtering in slowly. And the time has, you know, they've been attacked by all kinds of different people, and nobody really likes the Jews being in Israel. But they've come back and they started building houses again, and that's kind of where we're going to pick up. So, chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies desolate?" Now, one of the first things I want you to note is in the Old Testament, before the exile, all the prophets will date their books based on kings of Israel or Judah, depending on who the southern king or before that. From then on, they start dating their books based on the secular kings. And so Darius is the king of Babylon, and they're going to date it through this. But they're still using the Jewish dating calendar. So this would be Elul 1st, and for us, it's August 29th. So a little off here. But we're in 520 BC. And there are two guys that this prophecy is going to, Zerubbabel and Joshua. And one is the political king. Zerubbabel is the king, and Joshua is the religious leader, so he's the high priest. And the people have been waiting and saying, you know, we're here in Israel, but, you know, God's put us in exile, and so, you know, we're in trouble, so we shouldn't be doing anything. And they've tried to build things, and there's been attacks on them the whole time. And finally, God says, you're anticipating nothing today. And that's wrong. You need to anticipate me to do something exciting. Because right now, my house is desolate, and you feel deserted and lost and insecure. And so he says, you know, you wonder about that. Why is my house desolate if you think everything should be going good for you? And you've left what I have useless. And so he asked the question, is it your time or is it my time? And I think that's a question we all need to ask ourselves, especially in the beginning of the year here. Is it God's time or is it our time? And as we ask ourselves that, we have to answer with the right response. It's always God's time. Verse 5. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. You've sown much, but harvested little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothes, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put it in a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So he says, why do you think things are the way that they are? And for us, in the same instance, we have to ask that question. What are we doing in consistency with the Word of God? If we feel like things are falling apart and not coming together right, it's a time to take some spiritual evaluation of our lives. And so God said, consider your ways. And this applied physically to them. They said, you know, you guys are physically living in somewhat okay conditions, and yet you've not given your temple tax. There hasn't been a temple, and you need to consider that. Interesting, though, what we're going to talk about through here is the temple. And this is the issue, is that they've let the temple remain unbuilt. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that your body is the temple. And so in one sense, as we evaluate this text, we need to consider our bodies. But 1 Peter 2:5 says, each of you are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. And so the other aspect of this is that the body of Christ, or the church, is what we need to be considering. And so as we consider this book and consider how to apply it to our lives, we have to think about not only ourselves, but also all the congregation and how we are being fit together for God's work. And so the question is, are you preparing yourself to work with one another towards God's goal? Consider your ways. Verse 8 says, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. So the time has come to build. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. And when you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, which while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. Why did God call for that? Because of their actions, because of their attitude. It was self-centered rather than God-centered. And the reality is, this is a real call for each of us to reevaluate ourselves. And especially in the first of the year, as the year is ending, that's something we all need to do. Reevaluate and say, where are we? And are the things happening to me because my heart's not quite right? Or because God's preparing me for something special? Ultimately, his goal was to bring them to a place where they recognized their need for him, and all they could do is call on him and trust that he was going to provide. And that's where we need to be. We have to come to a place where we recognize that we are not here to provide for ourselves. Because our whole life, we go through, we work, and we work, and we work, and we work, and it's all about us. I don't have enough money, I don't have enough means, whatever. And God says, it's not about that. It's never been about that. It's about coming to me and coming into my kingdom and submitting to me, and I am going to provide for you. And that's what's exciting about this season. God is providing for us in a special way. Then Zerubbabel, verse 13, Zerubbabel, 12, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you. Now, before this, God wasn't saying, I'm with you. What changed? Their hearts. They said, we are going to start showing reverence for God. We are going to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. And everything changes. The reality is that when we put our hearts towards God, He puts His heart toward us. 2 Chronicles 7 says, if my people who are called by my name should humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. God is a God that is capable of all kinds of things. And sometimes we limit that by not trusting Him. But ultimately, when we give everything over to Him, we can trust Him, and He says, I am with you. And in that, it's exciting. And we have a special peace. And He says, you're never alone when your heart is set on me. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. So what happened? They had a change of heart. They began listening to the Lord, and as a result, they came together. There was a unity that there wasn't before. And secondly, they began to work. They had a mission, and the mission was to rebuild the temple. They said, we're going to commit our lives to serving God rather than serving ourselves. This is Elul 24th, is September 21st. And then we move into chapter 2. On the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? Now, we're in Tishri 21st, or October 17th, which is what? We started in August, the end of August, September, October. It's been 2 months. And they're looking at this temple that they built. And everybody else is like, 70 years ago, when this temple was originally here, those of us who were still alive saw Solomon's temple, and they spent years building Solomon's temple. There was all kinds of money put into it, and they're like, this is junk compared to what we used to have. And that's what God wants them to see. He says, you know, you saw something great back in the day, and it's not really what it was back then. And the reality is that the temple is not about what it looks like. It's about what's going on inside. And God is saying, look around. You remember how it was, how when you first came to know Jesus, life was exciting, and Jesus was doing crazy things in your life. And you kind of got to this lull in your spiritual life, and you're just like, I'm pushing on, but I don't feel that crazy energy. Verse 4, he says, but now take courage. Zerubbabel declares to... take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. And as for the promise which I made you when I came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in you, your midst. Don't fear. He says, I don't care what it looks like on the outside. And just because it doesn't look so amazing right now, doesn't mean it's not going to be amazing again. What you see right now is not the finished work. And that's exciting to me, because I'm not a very good work sometimes. God is doing the work. And we need to remember that He's doing the work and it's not us. And He's with us. And He's promised to fill us with the Spirit. And it's going to abide in us. And knowing that, we don't need to fear all the craziness around us. We need to trust that He is doing the work. And we need to press on and continue in the work that we've been called to. Despite the way it feels, despite the rigor. Now, for these guys, while they were doing this building, there are other groups of people coming in and attacking them the whole time. And in the same way, there are spiritual forces attacking us all through your spiritual life. When you are trying to build up the body, there is attack going on. But you don't need to fear that, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And that's exciting. Nothing can prosper against the work that God is doing. But we have to commit to doing that work. Verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations. And they will come with the wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. What's the promise? God's about to do something awesome. The heavens, the earth, this is the spiritual realm, the physical realm. The sea is a prophetic vision of the Gentile world. And the dry land is Israel itself. He says, throughout all of creation, I'm about to do something crazy. I'm going to shake everything. And ultimately, I'm going to fill this house with my glory. And the wealth of all the nations. Now let me ask you a question. What is the wealth of the nations? Any idea? It's not about money. We are the wealth of the nation. It is human resources. No resource is worth anything without humanity, right? We are the wealth. We are the instruments to be used in the house of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:20 says, in a great house are there not vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earthenware, some with honor, some unto dishonor. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meant for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. The call is to consider our way. And when we do that, we need to purge whatever is not of God, so that we can be used and set apart for a holy work. Verse 9, the later glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord. What's to come is greater than what it is. When we enter into the presence of the temple, what are we supposed to receive? Peace. But we do it, and we receive it, as we enter in for the work that he calls us to. If we let the temple degradate, we're not at peace. But if we build it up, it gives us a special excitement. And that's what God's calling us to. That if you are ready, because he is ready, come into the house and start the work. And he will make it a place of peace for you. On the 24th of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet. Now, in the first two prophecies in this book, it's written to two guys, both Zerubbabel and Joshua. Yeah. This time, he says, this prophecy is specifically not just for that. Hold on. On the 24th of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priests, this is to the priests, for those of you who are priests in the kingdom of God, which we all are called to be, right? If a man carries a holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold, or cooked food with wine or oil or any other food, will it become holy? And the priest answers, no. Then Haggai said, if one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the later become unclean? And the priest said, it will become unclean. Then Haggai said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so is every work of their hand, and what they offer there is unclean. But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would be only 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would be only 20. I smote you, and every work of your hands, with blasting winds, with mildew, hail, yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider, is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. Yet, from this day on, I will bless you. He says, you guys have been struggling. It's been hard. It's not been an easy road. But he says, from here on, from this point on, now that you have built the temple and founded it, from here on, I am going to bless you. Now, who is this to address to? This was to the priests. When we commit as servants of the Lord to work on the foundational work of the church, there is a promise of blessing. when we try to work on ourselves, by ourselves, we'll get burnout. And we're going to get worn out, and it's going to be, we're not going to see produce. But when we do it based on service to the Lord, we start acting to maintain the temple and living our lives as an act of worship, we can receive this promise. And the fact is, Jesus said, I've come to give you life, but give it to you more abundantly. And that's the promise. And we can receive that as we enter into his presence. The more abundance, not just a little bit of life. Then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. This is the same day, second prophecy. This one speaking to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdoms and destroy the powers of the kingdoms of the nations. I will overthrow the chariots and their rider. The horse and their rider will go down, and everyone by the sword of another. Now, who is Zerubbabel? He's the king. He is the political establishment. He's saying, every political establishment is going down, and I'm going to change the whole makeup of society. I'm going to shake it all up, and I will overthrow everything. And this is a prophecy that we still haven't fully seen. It's coming. God is going to not only establish his kingdom, but overtake all kingdoms with his kingdom. And we are a part of that. We are to go into the world and make disciples. And as we continue in that work exponentially, it will increase. And that's what God's calling us to do, to overthrow the kingdoms of this world. Now, in one sense, we can do that spiritually. In another sense, God's going to physically come in the future and establish his rule. And in that time, it's going to be its own craziness. In the meantime, we are those who are building the kingdom now. The world's authorities will be shaken. And it says, everyone by the sword of another. In other words, ultimately, the world's kingdoms are going to destroy themselves. They're going to fight against each other. But we are of the kingdom of God. And we shouldn't be fighting against each other. And that's one of the biggest problems in our church today, is that we are always bickering about things that are secondary matters. And that's not okay. God has called us to be in unity. It's okay to have disagreements and discussions and to be committed one way or another on secondary matters for yourself. And if God's led you in those different directions, that's great. But we need to encourage each other on the essential, foundational truth of who Jesus is and what the kingdom of God is. In that, we have peace and unity. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord. I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord. Now, what's going to remain? All the kingdoms of the world are going to be destroyed. And the only thing left is the kingdom of God. And Zerubbabel is going to be the signet ring. Matthew 1:12 has the name Zerubbabel. We'll see him as 12 generations before Jesus. This is a prophecy about Jesus coming. And he is coming. Zerubbabel's signet ring is basically his descendant, the offspring of him. And that's Jesus. So he says, I've chosen you, declares the Lord, to be my servant. Now, just a second ago, when was this put out? The date, he says, on the, on the 24th of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, which is Kislev 24th, which is December 18th, which is today. Over 2,500 years ago, this prophecy was given to us. That the time is coming where God is going to do something great. And I think it very much applies to all of us. God wants us to consider our ways. Build up the kingdom that he's come to bring to the earth. And enter into the peace that he has for you. As you go out this year in Christmas and enjoy the holiday, remember that God's called you to build a kingdom. There is a king that's born. And that kingdom is in the world today. And our responsibility is to submit to the king and to fight for his glory. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. And that fight is now, here, and today. But he says, I am with you through it. And from here on, I will make things increase. So, I just challenge you to take what he's promised and believe it. Live it out. Father, we lift you up today. We thank you. You are the King. You're the God of peace. And that you have established a new rule, the law of love. Lord, help us to walk in that law day and night and not let your temple degrade, but to build it up, and to build up each other, and to build up ourselves in your kingdom, to seek you first, and trust you to provide everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.